Hello, everyone. You're listening to Local MASH, the podcast version. I think this is actually like our very first one that doesn't come straight from a radio broadcast. So hopefully we'll get more of these going on. But I'm Brad Lyons, in case you don't know, one of the hosts of Local MASH. And yeah, this episode is all about Taylor Honeycutt. So we'll get into all the details, but just a quick setup. Taylor is from here in Alabama. She's got an incredible voice. And as you're going to find out from our conversation, she's super funny and smart and witty and all those things, too. So, yeah, we're going to talk about her new EP, Flower in a Drought, which is kick-ass, and you should check it out. We'll talk about all these people later, but you know, especially Mr. Les Newby, who I believe produced and engineered this little four-song EP, did a great job, and I can't wait to hear what's going to come out in the future. So this is going to be a little bit different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play the radio broadcast first. And then after that, I'll kind of pop back on and give a little outro, and we're going to go into the rest of the conversation we had. Taylor and I just kind of sat around, and after we kind of picked apart her EP and just kind of chatted more, because this is the first time she's been on the show, and I wanted to maybe dig a little bit deeper into not only her as a musician, but also as a person. So that was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoy it. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Taylor Honeycutt. Kind of talk about how this project came about in a general sense. Like, I know you worked with Les, right?
Yeah.
So who else was involved? How did it all come together?
So I was writing songs, and then like me and Ryan Saab, I was recording on his record and doing stuff. And then we were just like, why don't we kind of combine forces and try to write together? And, you know, he put some ideas and wrote some songs, and then I wrote a song, and I just kind of, he's the one that like pushed me to really try to do the EP.
Yeah. Cause I didn't know just like timing wise, and it's been a long time since I talked to Ryan. I haven't talked to Ryan since just before he went to Nashville.
Right,
and I don't even know if he's still there.
He is
still there. All right, mm-hmm. Cool. And we had talked about how you and him were writing a lot and trying to do a thing, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what that thing was going to be. So I know he was a part of this, right. But I didn't know if it was part of that same kind of him pushing for that or whatever.
Yeah. We didn't really know what it was going to be either.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so like it just kind of turned into like we knew we liked working together and we really respected each other. And so he wrote some great songs and we went into the studio and just did it with Les and got it done pretty quickly. But then, you know, other things happen. And so we finally got it out after he moved.
So it was one of those situations where you recorded it and then I don't know what the reasons would be, but it was kind of like, quote unquote, done. But it took a while to put it out.
Right, yeah.
Or it was just a lot of like, oh, let's go back and change this. Like,
it was a
what
lot
kind
of
put it off?
It was just a lot of like trying to get our schedules together because, you know, he does his thing and I do my thing and then I'm doing the Black Jacket thing.
Right.
So we're just all over the place. So when we can all get together and do it, I think it was just the time management that was the issue.
Yeah.
But we got it out.
So. Yeah, for sure. So far, I haven't had to lie on air. But like I legit like the EP in the sense, well, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that it's worth anything.
Thank
I just mean
you.
Like it's one of the things that like I'll put on purpose, not like a shuffle thing. Or it's like I was driving back from Nashville one day and it was like a week after it had come out and I kept forgetting to put it on that I had like downloaded or whatever. And then I was driving back from Nashville and it happened to be, it was just one of those nice moments where it was like super nice day. It was starting to cool off a little bit after the summer, had the windows down, still smoked cigarettes at the time. So, and it's like a good smoking record,
you know what I mean?
Especially a couple of the songs, but I love it. So I'm glad that it finally came out.
Thanks,
and
man.
I hope it's doing well for you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and start getting into the actual EP. So we'll just go in order, and we're going to do Flower in a Drought, the song. But that'll be in the kind of extended podcast version, right? So we're going to do the other three. So Promises, talk to me about that song.
I wrote that song about my grandfather.
Okay.
Right after he passed, and we were super close. And I mean, I guess if you listen to the song, you can kind of tell that we've both had the same kind of struggles in life.
Right. I was wondering what the comparisons were as far as like lyrically, like who you were maybe comparing yourself to or likening yourself to or whatever.
Very similar in a lot of ways we are.
Do you mind saying how?
We drink a lot.
Okay, yeah.
Drinking has been an issue before, and it was an issue for him, and it was one of those things that, like, I was going through a rough time with it at the, you know, when he was passing, and it was kind of like a conversation I was having to him.
Yeah.
You know, like, literally a conversation I had that was just kind of like, you know, like, I'm going to end up just like you. We're the same.
Right.
And, you know, I think it was... It was that's a hard song to sing too, like emotionally.
Not, I was actually about to ask that because now that I know exactly what it's about, it's like that's brutal.
Yeah, it's rough.
But isn't it one of those things where it's like
everything's sad?
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to do it, right? Like you've got to write the song. You've got to. I don't know. I know I've said this on the show, but it's a recurring theme. It's almost like when you. Whether it's a song you've written or a song that you super connect to.
Yeah.
Like, you know the songs, even as a writer, that there's some songs you hear and you're like, oh, I love that. Or, man, that's a really well-written song. Mm-hmm. But then there's those songs that it's just like inexplicably like your whole insides kind of turned to mush and you don't even know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. There's like tons, because it's funny, I use the word brutal, we'll get to it in a minute, on another song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
without having talked to you. But there's something, there's a levity to the record too, which is nice in the sense that it doesn't, you don't have to go down that road if you don't want
right.
to. Like, you cannot it listen
can
to the
light.
Lyric.
Yeah.
And it sounds like fun. Like I said, like, smoking a cigarette in the car in the fall or whatever it is for you. You know what I mean? But if you choose to dig into it, there's something there for you.
Right.
It's not just like typical kind of like country blues lyrics.
Yeah.
And even when it treads that way, that's one of the things about your voice that's really cool. And why I wanted to know about like the songwriting process is because I've heard you sing a million times, right? So I know you're like a monster when it comes to that. But some people don't have both.
Yeah.
Right, the songwriting, creative part, and the voice.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of crazy about you is that you've got both of them.
I got really lucky being mentored by people.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, to even know that, like, have the presence of mind to know that everyone needs those mentors.
Oh,
like, you can't, you have to be humble. And it's so weird being a musician or a creative person because you have to have this weird kind of like overinflated sense of confidence.
Yeah.
To like, you have to believe that you can get on stage
right.
and do whatever.
Even if it's not there.
Right, exactly. But we typically also are like the most self-hating personalities that are just antithetical to getting on stage in front of a bunch of people and asking to be judged.
Yeah.
For something that's very personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's a strange thing that we do.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So let's take a listen to that song, Promises, and we'll be right back.
Whiskey, wine, I've been there, seen me through.
All right, that was Promises, the first track from Flower in a Drought. That is Taylor Honeycutt.
I like it.
Are you worried about, we were talking before we started recording about, and it's, I can cut this out if you care, but like, you feel like you have a country name?
Yeah.
So because of how it's spelled, is it Honeycutt or Honeycutt?
Honey.
It is Honeycutt. Yeah. Okay. That should be that way.
Honeycutt, so, yeah.
There you go. So talk to me about Back in Town.
Ryan wrote this.
Okay.
So, but it's one of those that, like, I think it's my favorite on the EP.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's my favorite track because I relate to it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when he was writing that song, I remember I was writing a similar song about, like, you know, going home and seeing all these people that you knew and then now you don't and everything's changed.
Right.
And just reminiscing, and his was way better. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, I put on here, like, it's my favorite vocal performance of the EP, for sure. There's, like, it's so cool to hear, and I went back and watched the Spectrasonic sessions again, too, a couple of days ago, just to kind of, like, well, I've got a whole bunch. Maybe we can get into that later. I don't want to get too tangential now. But there's something about, there's a richness to your voice and the way that just even in a word or a phrase, you'll use two or three different voices, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It'll start raspy and then end up breathy with this kind of like fluttering vibrato at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happens within like a 1 second period of time.
Yeah.
And that stuff really sticks out when it's just you and an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's and it makes it a lot more just intimate and personal. It's cool to hear both sides of your voice,
yeah.
in that sense.
Yeah.
And that you, so beyond just the fact that you're talking about, Ryan was writing this song and you had one that was kind of similar, like what is it exactly that allows you to connect to this song and you perform it as if you wrote it though?
Yeah.
Like what do you do for that? Or is it just, you're able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think that the fact that it was so similar to what I was writing at the time, like, I definitely just, it was exactly what I was feeling. And it's so weird that me and Ryan work that way, that, you mm-hmm. know, like, he'll be going through something and he'll be feeling this way and thinking about something and I'll be going through the same thing too. And I think that's why we work together so well. But I don't know. I just, everything that he's written for me, I've felt and loved and respected so much that I try to make it my own and take it on and put it out there.
Well, I wonder if too, because you just talked about like how you genuinely love what he does,
yeah.
right? Like, I know I've been in situations, like if I'm producing a record, or when you are in care of someone else's kind of like creativity or whatever,
yeah.
especially if you respect it and you respect the person,
yeah.
that kind of sets a bar for you automatically. Like, well, I don't want to mess this thing up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I was nervous.
I love it. I want to pull it off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that can be, I don't know, kind of a, that's a hard job.
Yeah.
You know, that people don't realize.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. That you put on yourself,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Because everyone already loves your voice, right? You might not feel that way.
Well,
I don't know how you feel about your voice,
yeah.
but.
I like to sing, so.
Yeah, I figured. all right, cool. Well, I mean, the other part of this, like, just, this is where I wrote Brutal. To me, this is a pretty brutal song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the exact lyric, but at the end, there's the married with a kid, goes into married with a kid, and what is it? The fear that the dawn would pull you from my arms or
yeah.
something like that. And it's just, I mean, spoken, it sounds one way, but to hear it sung, that whole, like, last verse is just like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've got chill bumps thinking about it,
man.
The way it makes me feel.
It reminds me of something off of Living with Ghosts, that first, do you
yeah.
know that first Patty Griffin record?
No.
So, oh my God. Okay. Well, you just got to hear it
yeah,
and then
educate me.
Just like text me or something after you listen to it.
Cool.
Because it's, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
you got to check that record out. It reminds me of that. So let's just let everyone hear the song. All right. So this is Back in Town from Taylor Honeycutt's EP, Flower in a Drought. We'll be right back.
Back in town again, wading through this residence I'm lost. Sounds funny the way they talk. These folks I once knew, every word I try to say comes out some other way in the snow. I prayed for it once, I know. Now I can't stand it. Here you find me now as if in a dream. Must be the coldest spell I've ever seen. Back in town again. Remember it for forgotten friends driving slow past the places we used to go. They're fewer than they once were. I'm scared to death of everything. Hanging on some borrowed dream, they laugh at this force that I project. This life I'm leasing, here you find me now, all but broken down. Some things never change, no matter how you need them. Married with a kid, I hear. Remember when our only fear was the dawn would pull you from my arms. A lifetime passed now, I'm back in town again. Left to all my wanderings, houses cold. Hear the freight train whistles blow from the Canadian National Line.
All right, you're listening to Birmingham Mountain Radio, and I'm back with Taylor Honeycutt. And we just heard Back in Town from her EP Flower in a Drought. First of all, because we haven't mentioned it yet, where can people get your music?
It's on iTunes and Apple Music and Amazon and Google Play and
it's all the digital stuff, right?
What am I missing? I'm missing one.
Is it on Spotify?
Ah, yes.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that one.
All right, cool. What other stuff do you have that people can get other than just this new EP? Or is this kind of your like main quote unquote first thing?
It's the first thing ever.
We're gonna have to talk about that. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I just kind of figured. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about the song, okay. Isabel. Talk to me about it.
Ryan wrote this too. I think this is the first one that, the first song that he brought to me and was like, let's try to do this, was Isabel.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
So it's the first song we recorded and we were going to release it as a single and then it just kind of turned into the EP. And I remember we gave it to Reg and Reg played it and we were happy with it. But yeah, this song is so fun to play live.
I bet. Well, all right, so let's talk about this. Because I went back and watched, like I said, the Spectrasonic Sessions that you did. It has a couple of these songs from the EP on it. And it was like, I mean, I'm a musician, so I could tell little parts were different or whatever. But it's like, it sounds like the record. And obviously, it's because you were probably in the same room. But did you guys record the record live like that performance, or how did it work?
We tracked it live with the same group of people and then did overdubs. I mean,
cool.
Went back in.
Just
and,
like the normal live thing?
Yeah, did another vocal track, had some people come in and do different guitar parts. Ryan came back in, and it ended up being great. I was really happy with it.
Yeah, man. That whole track just feels good.
Yeah.
You know? There's no... and I don't mean this in a bad way. So what I like about this EP too is that in four songs, you've kind of made this kind of dynamic emotional journey within them, right?
I'm so glad that you recognize that.
So it's not just like, all one thing for four songs. It takes you like what albums used to be, right?
Yeah.
Where there was an intentional, like a side A and a side B and reasons why you did certain things and ordered things a certain way. And then you had your own, even if it doesn't have to be a concept record, but
right.
In some senses, all albums are kind of concept records,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just flows really good. So obviously you were conscious of that.
Like, yeah.
How did you make that decision?
I mean, I think honestly, it was just like placing the songs in order and what we wanted. I mean, we definitely wanted the dynamics to be different, and I'm really glad I was happy with it. So
yeah.
I'm glad that
it was like the perfect. That's one of the things I was thinking the first time second time I actually listened to the whole thing. It was like, that's like a perfect spot for that song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right at the end, and not in like, we'll throw it at the end. It's just like, that's the way to end this after. You know, something like back in time. You know,
right.
So kind of intimate
knock
and brutal.
Knock you down, bring you back up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the most, maybe not lyrically necessarily, but the most kind of like lighthearted, cool, laid back kind of thing going on. So I want to talk about your band real quick before we get off the actual airwaves and move over to podcast land. So who was the band for this record?
So Ryan was playing guitar.
Right.
Daniel Rain is on keys.
Yeah.
Ford Boswell on pedal steel,
yeah.
Adrian Marmolejo on bass. I forgot. And Devontae Hudgens on drums. And Les actually played drums on Isabel.
I was wondering if you played
on
anything.
Yeah, he did. And also on Flower in a Drought, Will Stewart's on it.
What did he play?
Guitar.
Okay.
Yeah, that guitar
solo. I knew it.
It's
I was going to ask. I was going to say, and not Ryan, if you're listening to this or ever listen to this, not that I don't think you can play that, you know, like Will or whatever.
It's a very
but
Will
it's
thing.
Will. You know what I mean? Like, I heard that guitar. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if that's Ryan, I'm going to give him a big hug next
right.
time I hear him. And if it's not, I want to know who's playing guitar right. on it. So now that makes total sense.
James Mullis, early James, played the slide parts on
oh, cool.
Back in Town. And, Tommy Bowen, Tommy Trumpet from Tragic City.
Cool.
Did the horn stuff on Isabel.
Nice. That's a good band, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know all those people, but I've heard all of them.
Yeah.
And that's a... I mean, heard all of them apart from you.
Right.
Like, in individual
right.
settings or whatever. Have you guys all just been... How did you put that together? Was it just like, you're all friends? And
did,
so, like, let's just put
just,
it together?
We all just hang out together all the time.
Right.
I mean, we're all, like, this whole group of musicians that were all this age. We just... we're all just homies. We all hang
That's
out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can hear it in the playing, too. Like, there's something kind of effortless and not trying too hard, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Just playing and doing the thing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead and listen to the last song, and then check us out on the podcast. If you can go to Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. We're going to continue this conversation. There on the podcast, so check that out. And I think Daniel's going to be up next playing some more music, but here's the last song. Thanks so much for coming in, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. I appreciate it. Peace.
Well, you taste like cigarettes and you sound just like Fantasia. What do I owe this regret? I'm a cheap nostalgia. Only your favorite band dressed just like your brother, and the hole you used to rent is your new. Isabel, isn't it? addicts. I've been beat by the songs and the beer. Won't you decipher my sad surrender, baby? Give them what they wanna hear. I said, give them what they wanna hear. I said, give them what they wanna hear.
Thanks for listening. That was Isabel, the fourth track from Taylor Honeycutt's latest EP, Flower in a Drought. Taylor, obviously, has been our guest this week, and you've been listening to the radio broadcast version, the track-by-track breakdown of her record. But at this point, if you are listening on the podcast, and maybe you don't like bad language, that's cool. You might want to turn it off now. I mean, I'm not saying there's a ton of it, but or if you have kids in the car, this is just kind of your fair warning that it's two adults talking and there could be some language. So if that's not your preference, totally cool. But you might want to turn off now. So coming up next is a track that we couldn't play on the radio broadcast just because of language and well, yeah, just language. But it's a killer, killer track from this EP. It is also the title track of this EP, Flower in a Drought. It's a killer song. Hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, here's the rest of my conversation with Taylor Honeycutt. We'll be right back after this song.
I got $100 habit. $50 shows, singing all of my songs for folks I don't know in a state where they still fly that goddamn flag. And I ain't from here, and I don't pretend to be. So if I die tomorrow on my way to Bell City, won't you slap one of my band stickers on the body bag? Girl I caught him with left some blood on my sleeve. There ain't a lock or friend in this world you can trust. Yeah, my next paycheck is a fragment of a sentence I could say if I hadn't studied drink instead of business. Now that stain on my sleeve starting to rust.
All right, welcome back. We are now in the podcast version of the show. I'm still hanging out at Boutwell Studios with Taylor Honeycutt. What's up?
What's up?
All right, so we're free to talk about whatever we want to. Take a deep breath. But I do want to start, because we couldn't play it on the radio version, mm-hmm. and it's one of my favorite songs on the EP for a couple different reasons.
Yeah.
When you talk about Flower in a Drought. So, just, what's it about? Who wrote it? What's going on?
Ryan wrote it.
Okay.
And it's coming from Demopolis. It's very, how do I say this without pissing everybody off?
Oh, see, that's what's cool. Is don't worry about it. That's just up to you.
they're, you know, very, I know my mom's going to listen to this, racist.
Okay, yeah.
yeah. You know, like, it's still a thing there. Yeah. I mean, you still drive around and fucking flags everywhere, and it's very segregated and very, it's just...
So
a lot of people are pissed about it. A lot of my parents' friends, a lot of
about this song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Well, yeah.
Like relationship ender pissed, or they're just gonna kinda treat you shitty for a while?
Just not buy it, not listen to it.
Just kinda
not talk
to
me.
Side.
Yeah.
Weird.
And dude, it's a different place.
So what do you think? Because everything's a spectrum, right? Like even something like racism, and I'm not, you know, that's a hard topic to tackle,
yeah.
right? So I'm not going to get in the weeds with it or anything,
right.
but like, what do you, it's so weird because I feel like we get wrongly stereotyped as people just because we're from the South, right?
Right.
So if you travel outside,
yeah.
As both of us has done a million times, I'm sure you get a lot, like when you tell them, where you're from.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
this automatic like,
yeah.
oh, I thought you were cool for a minute, but now I got to like take a step back and like reassess this for a second.
Yeah.
And the questions I've been asked are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've been asked if I've kissed my sister.
Oh, yeah.
People look at my feet and are surprised I have shoes on once I tell them I'm from Alabama.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
oh, yeah, I definitely get it.
It's insane. So the point being, it's right to stereotype the South that way.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of like a city versus rural kind of thing.
I absolutely do.
In the sense
do.
That, like, none of my, I don't know personally any racists. And if they are, they're so far down, like, the light end of the spectrum,
right.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That, like, it's not even noticeable in, like, life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems alien to me. But to the rest of the world, we live in the hotbed for all that stuff,
yep.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's rednecks in California.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just have a different accent.
Yep.
I mean, most of California is actually redneck.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you think about it, just look at the map.
Right.
Like, there's the coast.
Yeah.
That's where all the whatever,
yeah.
you know, your West Coast liberals are.
Right.
But the rest of it's like farmland and plains and
right.
it's kind of redneck.
Yeah.
You know? Like, how does that stuff change, I guess, is a long way about getting to that. Because, and I'll shut up, but it's like I don't have to have these conversations with the people that are already in my echo chamber.
Right.
So, like, how do you, in a place like this that is so, like you said, kind of still segregated in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you do about that?
I really, that's what I thought, that like making this the title track and releasing
right.
it would like bring it to people's attention and like be like, okay, this is not cool. Like, we need to try to change. I don't know what I thought, if it would change anybody's mind or like make them aware that this is a problem. Because like going back home and talking to especially older folks,
mm-hmm.
like my grandparents and that whole, you know, like this is the way they were brought up. They don't see it as anything wrong, you
right.
know, like the people that I choose to be around are very aware. They just live in like a different cloud.
Yes,
it's completely
it's
different.
A different type of isolation.
Yeah,
or it's a different type of echo chamber.
Right, yeah.
right.
Yeah, and it's like they don't see it as anything wrong. You know, the typical things that they say, like, "Oh, you know, I love everyone." Like,
right.
You know, I don't hate anyone, and I'm not going to be rude to anyone. And
well, isn't that about like? where the line is for everybody. Not everyone, everyone that has maybe bigoted or racist, like, I guess we could call them tendencies maybe, right? Where it's right. like, I don't mind being next to someone of color in the line at the grocery store.
Right, yeah.
I'll say hey to them or whatever.
I have a black friend.
but if they want to marry my daughter,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, that's the line for some people.
Yeah.
President, no. Right. That's the line for some people. You know what I mean?
It's very real.
But people have to realize that if you have that line, then you're a little bit racist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Anyway, let's not, we'll stop the racism rant. We're not going to figure that out today. But back to the song. Did it feel good to have that song?
Oh, man.
That opening line?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I liked hearing it the first time. I was shocked in
yeah.
a good way.
Yeah. That's what it, I mean, it's very in your face.
Yeah.
Especially that you repeat it twice, you know, it's
right.
It's
well, you
there.
Start and end the song with
yeah,
it, right?
You listen.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. I really do too. I love playing it live too. And I tend to get a little heated, as does Ryan.
Yeah.
So it sometimes comes out screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it needs to be screamed. So
I think it's the, you said something earlier, like, it is important for you to do it,
yeah.
whether 5 people hear it or 50,000 people hear it. It's
yeah.
just like as many of those, as many different ways as that idea can be presented.
Yeah.
You know, this song, a speech, a news article, whatever it is, these little things hopefully build up to one big, like, okay, everyone quit being idiots.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's what it feels like sometimes. Right. It's just like, man, you are so smart in all these other areas. Not you, but like these people. But this one thing, you are dumb as shit.
I know, dude. I know.
Anyway. All right. I said I'd get off it. Let's get back. Again, get back to the song. I had some notes on it. Okay, so Will played the lead on this.
Yeah, I'm in the solo section.
I love it.
Man, I love him. I really do.
He's like, I'm fine with it. He's one of the people I've talked about on the show like so many times. You know, I must have like some sort of gay crush.
That's okay.
Underneath him or underneath the underneath him. See what I did there? The
subconscious.
No, but I think Will is just so like, he's so sweet, and he's so, what I love about him is he's so kind of like, I mean, he's funny and he cuts up or whatever, but he's a really chill guy, right?
Yeah.
But then, and sometimes his guitar playing is just like his personality, and then there's just moments where you're just like, you are a, something's wrong with you,
yeah,
in a good way,
right?
Like, what
did yeah.
that? I just love playing. Every time I've seen him play live, I'm just like, well, I should stop playing guitar.
Every time I see him play, and especially listening to that record, I was just like, shit, I've got to work a lot harder.
Yeah, right?
Oh my God.
Isn't that so good, though?
Even him, like, opening up, we did the EP release, and he and Ryan both did acoustic sets, and it was just like, I'm sitting here on the couch, and I'm like, this is wrong. I should not be.
See, that's so weird. All right, we got to talk about this for a minute. We
got to
talk about this for a minute. So, and you obviously, like, you drive the train on this. You, because like I said, I overshare, and if I at all ask you anything that you're like, I'm not talking about that, just tell me to fuck off.
I'm pretty honest. I'll
okay,
just
cool.
go ahead.
So how, I did not expect you to come in here and be, like, a super confident, like, overly confident person or cocky person.
Yeah.
But you, for someone like me, when I hear someone's voice, I want to at least think that I know them in some way because of their voice.
Yeah.
It needs to, like, kind of tell me something about them.
Yeah.
If that makes any
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people are great singers, but I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then there's people like you where it's so obviously, if you're faking this, then you're awesome at it and you need to go into acting or whatever. But like every time, every line feels like very desperate.
Yeah.
In a way, like it's got to come out.
That's
or you're
exactly,
going to lose your mind.
That's
you
how
know
I
what
feel.
I mean?
Yeah.
Now, how do you have the voice that you have? And I know this is a stupid question in a way, but it's so good. How do you go like, oh, I can't listen to it? Like you were telling me off air that you're not allowed to listen to like mixing and mastering processes and all that kind of stuff because you would just change it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're too self-critical.
Yeah.
So why, how does that happen for you? How do you not recognize, there's got to be part of you recognizes how good your voice is. Even if it's just moments here and there.
I mean, there's been times where I've done things, but I think it's always like, if I have a good performance, I like always gauge it off what the crowd reacts. I never am like, oh, good job, Taylor. Mm. It's always just kind of like, I think it's more for me, and singing for me is more, it's so therapeutic and it feels so good to do. And it's so honest and it's like, it's the only way I can really go about my day to day and like be sane is if I just get it out and sing. And I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. I've never ever liked my voice. I've never wanted to hear it, but I'm going to keep doing it. And especially like songwriting has kind of made it different for me. Like I kind of felt like singing and stuff was selfish because it was therapy for me, but songwriting is different because I want to put something out there for other people. And if they relate to it, whether it's one person or 100 people or whatever, at least I did my job, you know, like I made people feel like they're not the only person feeling this way,
right?
You know, and that's
And that's such a healthy way to approach it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wondered about like, what is it? Can you nail down what is it you don't like about hearing your voice? Or you don't even know?
I don't really don't have like a specific, I just sit there and like listen and I'm like, oh, that was sharp, or like, oh, that was, you know, it's just like,
which is
over-analyzing.
So weird, 'cause one of the first things that I noticed, you can be fooled a little bit like when you're at a live show hearing someone sing.
Yeah.
Like you've, or even for yourself, like you feel like you just nailed it. And then you hear a board tape or something like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's the nights that you think, oh my God, I should jump off a bridge. And you hear a recording back and you're like, oh, shit, that sounded good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just, because when I watched, again, going back and watching some of the live stuff on YouTube, it's like, you don't hit bad notes. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
Like, when I listen to people for pitch, this is going to just be like, you know, 45 minutes of me kissing your ass about your voice. But,
love it. I'll take it.
Okay, cool. Because some people makes it uncomfortable. I don't know. I just, the psychology behind all that is really bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Like how you can have that big of a voice with that much texture to it and that, and your pitch is so good, even when you're just like off the cuff. That's a thing. Maybe it's that you don't realize it. Because I can't do that. I love to sing and I love to write. But I can't just sing. Does that make sense? I have to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You seem like if there's someone playing an instrument, you can open your mouth and do something that's probably going
to
sound
good. I just like completely lose myself. I don't pay attention to anything else. It's just kind of like, what? I don't really know what the process is. I'm not planning anything. Everything's kind of impromptu.
Well, so how long have you been writing?
Seriously writing, probably like 2 or 3 years. I would write songs here and there, but like I've been like making it a point to like try to write something every day for the past 2 years. Trying. I'm not saying I do that, but I'm trying.
Right, because it's a job, right?
Yeah.
it's a job. You want it to be your job, at least, you know.
I don't know how to do anything else, so.
We're fucked. That's why I was like, my term is like I'm a lifer and I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I've tried to quit music twice.
Yeah.
And it's just,
how did
always,
that work?
It didn't. That's why every time it's made life a little bit easier though, in the sense that like, I just don't have any other options anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when am I going to go back? I quit college to move to Nashville.
Yeah.
And never went back because I won the lottery and I could make a living up there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now it's like, I mean, I'm not, you know, a foot into the grave or anything, but it's like, I'm not 22 anymore either. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't do anything else anyway.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
I just don't know what I would do.
I'll just be poor and play
I'm
music.
Fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
I really am fine with
I've
that.
Come
now.
To terms with
it took me a long time. I felt like I had to have some sort of like financial something to show.
Yep.
But
nope.
Fuck, no.
I don't give a shit That's about bullshit. It anymore. Like I can eat potatoes and be fine for the rest of my life.
Well, to be honest with you, other than like my own mental instability, other than those episodes, like sometimes when I look back, like my happiest times are the leanest times.
Oh, yeah.
I think. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Because I'm just kind of stripped of excesses in a way. And it's just like you learn what you need.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be an insane person. I feel like I already am an insane person and I do music. And if I didn't, I would be, I don't know what.
I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah.
I know I definitely feel that way.
I guess that's why there's like a automatic kinship. You know what I mean? With musicians sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's such a unique experience.
Yeah.
And you just can kind of tell when someone else knows what's up.
Yeah.
You know? All right, I want to know more about you since this is the first time we've ever talked.
Mm-hmm.
So you already told me where you're from. You're from Demopolis, right?
Yep.
So, and you've been here for 5 years in Birmingham, correct?
I have to like go back and think.
Something like around 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We'll say 3 to 5 years,
yeah.
Right? How often have you been coming to Birmingham to like do stuff before you finally just said, like what made you actually move?
I actually moved to Montebello because I went to school there for vocal performance, which was like, I don't know how the hell I got that scholarship. Really don't.
I failed music at college.
Dude, I was there for a year and a half. I went to classes for like a semester. Like, it was bad. I should have never done it. You know, I mean, I'm glad I did, but I started working at like a restaurant that had blues music, and then I would just walk around and waitress and sing, and then eventually would start singing with bands, and I was like, oh shit, people are bringing me beer and like I can sing songs and this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna quit and move to Birmingham and do that. So
That's
I did.
Cool. Good for you.
Mom was so
super
happy.
Proud.
Yeah.
Oh, that conversation.
Hey mom.
When I quit college.
Yeah.
You're gonna do what?
Yeah.
And go do what?
Yep.
I get it though. I mean, I get it. You know.
Now, I think finally now she's like, okay, maybe it wasn't the worst decision.
Right.
Like, you've worked hard. This is good. Like, you keep going on this route. Maybe we'll be proud of you.
Right. Well, and you know what the funny thing is, like, my mom is just like, I could bring, I don't know. She's proud of me no matter what.
That's awesome.
That's that mom, right?
Aww.
That's my mom.
Yeah.
My dad, he loves me. Much more complicated situation.
Right.
But I remember my first gig, like my first real gig after I moved to Nashville. And I think part of it too is just like, because he's not like that, I mean, he's an engineer.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, totally different.
Yes. So when he came, it just so happened I got hired for my first gig, and my second or third show with this person was actually in Montgomery for a festival that I don't even know if it still happens anymore. It was a big festival.
Yeah.
Because there was a good, I don't know, 5,000 to 7,000 people there for our show or whatever.
Yeah.
And my parents came, right? Now, before playing with this artist, I'd never played to more than like 50 people.
Yeah.
Right? So my parents come and we're on a tour bus, right? And there's tons of people at this festival and I'm up on stage playing lead. And of course they're proud of that.
Yeah.
Right? But then when my dad, it clicked for me, my dad is like, so, are you making, I mean, they, do you have to pay for the bus? And that I'm like, no, dad, like, no, they are pirates. They, you know, this person hires me.
Right.
Like, I'm not paying for my own travel to go work for them. You know what I mean? No, dude, that's all. I'll get per diem. And, you know, he's like, well, how much do you make a show? And I told him, and it was, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was like all the worry left him.
That's
I saw
awesome.
It happen. It was just the money. Okay. That's the way his brain works. Yeah. He's an engineer. He's like, well, how are you going to do this? And you should start doing this now. It's like, that's not the way I work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you have parents like that or family?
Oh, they're definitely worried about my financial stability. Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely concerned about it. But I mean, I don't need any of these things that they think I need.
What is it they think you need?
Like, buy my own house and like right. a new car that I can actually open the door on without reaching my hand out the window to let myself out.
I love it. You were like, you were everything that I expected you to be and hoped you to be just in that one moment. So no one knows what we're talking about. So you're trying to find this place and you're texting back and forth. And I was like, yeah, it's here. Go to this corner or whatever. And you're like, I'm so sorry. I'm still learning my way around after 5 years. I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. But, and I just, you like pull around the corner and I just hear a yelling voice just, gotta park here. I'm like, yep. You're like, you come out of your car and you're like, sorry, I have to open my car from the inside. I'm like, you are a wonderful mess.
This is perfect.
This is what I thought your voice told me that you're going to be like.
Yeah.
This is great.
This is it.
Just yelling out a car window in the middle of Homewood. Here!
Oh, man. This is me all the time.
I believe it. Yeah. I totally believe it. Dear God. So what else you got going on? So how do you make money?
This?
Right, but like, what do you do? What kind of stuff do you do?
I host an open mic on Wednesdays.
Where?
Little Italy in Five Points.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep, it's a party every Wednesday.
Is it really?
Oh, God, yeah. We have, I mean, it's all our buddies, so everyone's cool. Just like, we don't have anything to do on Wednesday, we're just going to go up and get $3 pitchers of beer and like just hang out and everyone like impromptu jams and everyone plays with everyone.
I'm going to have to come to you.
Yeah.
Like
we usually have like 20 something people signed up.
That's cool.
Everybody gets time. We'll go to 2 o'clock in the morning if you want to play five songs. Like
that's awesome.
Whatever.
When do you do it again?
Wednesday.
What time?
We play for like 30 minutes. So we usually start at 8:30. So nine people will start signing up and stuff.
That's cool.
But if we have like, you know, we'll have kids come in, like 14-year-olds that want to come in there, so we'll start it earlier. Somebody messages me, he's like, you know, my 12-year-old wants to come play some songs. Yeah, right. Whatever.
I used to go to Jimmy Finney's
open mic night
when I was first learning how to write, and it became like I think those things are like really valuable.
Oh, they're so important.
It's getting to watch even some like him. Jimmy is such a, I love him. He's such a mess.
Yeah.
but it was so cool because, you know, when I was first getting to know him, and it was all through the open mic stuff when I first moved back to town. And he's the one that got me up on stage sing for the first time.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
So you're taking this person who's like, you know, no problem getting on stage in front of however many people to play an instrument.
Yeah.
But you want me to play one of my songs, and I just like crumble. Not anymore, but at the time, it's still real hard for me. But,
oh yeah.
But it became like it started as a thing to get out the jitters.
Yeah.
Right, and like little things like learn how to sing on a PA because it's different, and all those stupid basic things. Right, but then it became a thing where it was like, this is a chance for me to like try out material with no cost.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'll know right away whether this translates live or not, whether the crowd's listening to me or not, just by how it feels up on stage or whatever, you know, and that opportunity to kind of like help people, give people an open opportunity to kind of stretch and fail and like fuck it up.
Yeah.
Cause that's the most important part, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool that you did do that. I didn't even know that was... I'm so out of the loop, first of all. But, all right, so Wednesday nights, usually around 8:30.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and it goes super late.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we're there for a while.
Man, so who are some other people you listen to here in town? Not to put you on the spot, but...
I mean...
Like, here's some people you look up to, or...
Heath Green.
Yeah.
Big time.
Why is that? He's okay.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
great.
He's all right. No, he honestly, like, even when I first started playing in this duo with a guy named Matt Willis, like, I remember Heath being like, my wife's asleep, but, like, y'all come back to the shed and, like, let's listen to Bonnie and Delaney and, like, right. hang out, you know? And, like, that always impacted me, and it means a lot that he, like, loves and cares and supports me, and yeah. I love everything that he does. Obviously, Will Stewart, dude, crushes it, like.
Well, you'd mentioned the word mentor before. Like, who are some people that you consider mentors? And it doesn't even have to, because I have people that might sound weird now that I'm saying out loud that I don't even know that
yeah.
I consider mentors, right?
Yeah.
So, like, so who are those people for you?
I think, like, the main person that's kind of, like, whipped my ass into shape has been Les. Like, Les has been a big support of mine, and Ryan. And, I mean, me, Ryan, and James, I think, have, like, this really special friendship bond, and I look up to them so much. What they do, they're so good.
And they probably look up to you. They probably say, if I was interviewing them, they'd probably say the same thing about you, right?
Because they know that I'd hurt them if they didn't.
You get angry?
Yeah.
You have anger?
I have a little bit of anger.
Is it anger, or is it you're just, like, you're fiery?
I'm aggressive.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know. I think it's part of where I'm from. It's always,
probably.
Like, hanging out with,
like,
the boys,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
like, you know, like,
yeah.
I've had a couple people be like, don't punch me when you see me. Like, don't do that. Or you hug me too hard. Or like,
you broke, like, a rib when you,
yeah,
hugged me.
Calm down, Taylor.
Yeah, it's funny. You do have, and now I'm, like, I think it's well established, anyone that's listened to the show ever, or just even this conversation, that I might have some insecurity issues, right?
What?
So take that the grain of thought. But I remember, like, you know, I don't know. There's people that, like, intimidate me in this town, you know?
Oh, me too.
Which is so cool. I love that. Like, what was it? Why was I at Kaha? Maybe you were playing. I went to see you play at Good People. Was it Good People? Which is the one right at the Regions?
Good People, yeah.
That's Good People. And so, who was I with? I was friends with you guys. It was you playing. Ryan wasn't there. Why am I blanking right now? Keys.
Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah.
And they're like, have you met them? I'm like, no. And I just remember standing off to the side like, don't introduce me. Cause
no.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to talk.
Yeah. It's like, man, because she'll probably, like, you just have this, like, personality. It's in your voice. And then I was like, oh, I can't fuck with this person. She'll, like, you've got that. You probably have that, like, Southern wit where you're like, if I said something stupid, you'd be the person be like, well, what the hell was that all about? You know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go crawl
but
home
down.
I
feel like I'm a mixture of that, like, Southern, but then also, like, I'm super weird. So it's like, I'd probably appreciate it.
Do you mind being weird?
No.
Do you fight it at all?
No, not anymore.
I'm realizing recently that I've spent my, like, whole life trying not to be as weird as I am.
Yeah, I mean, but why?
I don't know.
Why?
I'm letting go of it now.
Good.
You can hold me accountable if you'd like to in the future.
But, like,
but
God, you need to be weird. Embrace it.
Yeah. I know. I do.
All my favorite people are
super weird.
Super weird.
I love it.
Yeah.
So do you... You said you've been writing seriously for like 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah, like two-ish.
And I know that everyone has a different process. Everyone has multiple different processes depending on the song.
Yeah.
But, like, can you talk about in general for you where you are at in, like, your songwriting life with how it kind of starts or where it has to come from? Or, and what I mean by that, to be, because it might sound like a vague question, like, some people write, like, narrative story songs intentionally from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
And some people are really good at that.
Yeah.
But they're not so great about maybe a truly kind of, like, autobiographical,
yeah,
whatever. And then there's people that are killer at that.
Right.
That's just more of a kind of stream of consciousness, kind of edited outpouring, whereas this is more a different side of the craft, the whole narrative,
yeah,
someone else's story kind of thing. Do you have a place that you tend to come from?
I think it's more of the autobiographical. Yeah, like, I just kind of just pour it out, whatever I'm feeling. And
so, like, what does that look like for you? Because I know for me, as someone that's not a vocalist,
yeah,
I'm held back by that, in the sense that I either something has to accidentally fall out,
yeah,
and then I can build off that,
mm-hmm.
or I have to be a little bit thoughtful about the melody or constructing one,
yeah,
because I can't just, or maybe I can, I don't know how to do it yet or something. I can't just open my mouth and do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? How do you kind of go through that editing process once you start something? Does it just kind of come out, or do you go through and like listen to iPhone voice memos and go like, well, that verse sucks?
I think I write it. The easiest thing for me is to like physically write it down, and like, it always starts with like one line, whether I decide that's going to be the chorus or that's going to be the first verse. And like, it just kind of comes out from there. And then, you know, all of us have those throwaway one-liners that we keep and pick and choose from. And I do that. Songwriting is so hard for me. It is.
How so?
It's ridiculously hard for me. I don't know. I think the fact that I don't write, you know, like stories, you know, that can be fictional, and I feel like everything has to be personal and honest for some reason in my head, I think that holds me back, because it's like, am I being too honest? Am I being too upfront? Is this too dark? I think that's what every time I finish a song, it's like, is this too dark?
And then what do you do when you think maybe it is dark?
I usually don't change it.
Good. Okay, cool.
I usually don't change it. Then
why
you get
not?
Songs like Promises, because that, I don't know, like part of me wants it to be appealing to people and not just be like, I just knocked everyone down and they're going to go home and like cry, you know? But I think another part of me is just like, if I compromise that and I'm not honest about it and I, you know, this is what came out, I should keep it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll go back in and tweak verses and stuff that I'm just like, that's a little too much, but typically I don't. And there's a lot of songs that I've written that I won't show anyone that are that kind of that way, that are dark.
Yeah.
Too dark.
I always feel like I've always, for the most part, and it depends on the style of music or whatever, but yeah. I've always loved the extreme stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's the most unique in a way, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. It might follow a formula, but there's nothing inherently formulaic about that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you play piano and guitar?
I just play guitar.
Okay.
I taught myself. I'm not the best guitar player, but I try.
No.
I do what I can.
You sound good. I mean, what I've seen, you sound good. What made you start writing? I mean, yeah, what made you start writing?
I think God. Because
that's pretty recent.
Yeah,
I mean, you're a baby when it comes to that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like wrote songs. I got my guitar when I was like 17, and I like wrote songs and stuff. Like, being pissed at my mom,
right?
And, you know, but like, I think I wrote Promises 3 years ago, and then Undone 3 years ago, which is on that Spectrasonic, and there's been some other ones, and well, I don't know. What was the question?
Well, just like how it started. I mean,
just wanting to have original content. Like, I was just tired of playing cover gigs. It was so draining to play the same 30 songs every night for people that are like, you know. And it was like really encouraging, instead of people coming up and be like, play Stevie Nicks or like Bobby McGee. And like, you know, like, instead of being that, like, here's a song I wrote.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. How about instead of that, I'd sing you a song about drinking and being
How is
sad.
It? Yeah. Well, which
complete
most
opposite.
Of the cover songs you probably sing are about that too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean,
they really are.
That's what's so funny about it is like, when it's yours, it feels so, because it is, so personal and in some ways unique. But then you realize like, what, you know, sometimes I'm like you said, like, oh, it's too dark or it's too whatever. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of the good stuff out there in the world is the dark, super, like, might make you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I gravitate towards.
That's always
towards.
The best stuff, you know? The stuff that makes me go, oh, I don't know how I feel about that
right.
yet. And it makes me keep going back to it to figure it out.
Yep.
And 9.9 times out of 10, it ends up being my favorite thing on a record or whatever. That thing that initially made me go, ooh.
Right.
You know?
Me too.
I just have learned to appreciate, like, what would Leonard Cohen be if he wasn't willing to get dark as fuck?
Right.
We wouldn't love him.
Right.
He'd just be a guy with a kind of crappy, weird, low voice that didn't have great songs, right. You know? Because, you know, his melodies aren't amazing, but you can't beat some of those lyrics.
No, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah.
It's like, dude, what happened to you, bro?
Who hurt you?
Who would hug you, man?
Yeah, I know.
Well, all right. Let's talk about Les. We gotta talk about Les.
Shit. Every time I'm on a radio, like, every time it ends up being like, we're gonna hurt Les. We're gonna lock him in a room. We're gonna threaten Les.
I don't know why.
On the air. Why?
Because I seriously was just about to say, I'm gonna preface everything that comes out of my mouth after this with, I love Les.
Right.
I love him.
But.
And he's one of those people that I've actually, when I think about it, I've actually probably only had 5 real conversations with. But those 5 conversations were real long.
I was about to say, lasted 3 hours?
He talked for 95% of it. I call him Loquacious Les. That's what I call him. Because he just, it's amazing. But, jokes aside, before I just make fun of him a bunch, or as much as I can, they're really meaningful conversations, though.
Yes.
Or I feel that way. I can't speak for him. I feel that way. So I do love him. Now let's talk some shit about him. How'd you meet Les?
Coming into the studio with Ryan, laying down some like background vocals with him on one of his EPs. Yeah.
And just for everyone listening, I just realized, I hate this when this happens. If you don't know who we're talking about Les Newby, who works out of Ola Elegante Studios, literally like a block and a half down the road from us right now.
Yep.
He's a great producer. Mm-hmm. He's worked with, he was in, back in the day, he was in Verbena, mm-hmm. right? But he's worked with tons of people.
Yeah. So many good bands.
Yeah.
He's been in so many good bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just a good dude.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's really talk about
Les.
Yeah,
screw him.
So you met him just through a gig, like through a session.
Yeah, and it was just like, coming into that, never recording, never setting foot in a studio, super intimidated. Didn't know what I was doing. Like, literally didn't know how to work anything. Was like, headphones, what? You know?
Yeah.
So confused. And it was like so welcoming and so nice, which now he'll be like, shut up and get in there and do it. And I'm like, you know? But initially,
yep.
So nice. I don't know. It's a back and forth.
Yeah. Well, it should be, right? I mean, I think some of my best, like on the production side of things, my best relationships with people or some of the work that I'm most proud of came out of, there was a little tension between me and that person.
Yeah.
And it was not personal tension. It was, we both cared about what we were doing
right.
And had very strong opinions because we cared.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And it gets a little tense sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you can't be like that with someone, they might not be it's not always the case.
Yeah.
You and that person might not be digging in hard enough.
Right.
If you're not getting a little bit of,
I think it should always,
on,
it should,
you know?
Always be that way.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I'll want to, again, overanalyze it and be like, no, we need to do another take.
He's like, no, we're good.
Like, yes. Second take. Almost every one of the recordings, his second vocal track, he's like, we're not doing another one. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, shut up. Get in here.
I have a couple people that I do that with.
Yeah.
Same thing with.
You can't, you know.
And you know he's right, too, right? No.
I'm not going to admit it.
Well, I've come to a place where, like, it's a trust thing. Like, there's so much trust in making music with someone.
Yeah.
Especially when you're being, it's personal, right?
Yeah.
And that comes from, whether it's the relationship between the solo artist / songwriter and a band member, that relationship.
Yeah.
Whether it's an artist and a producer,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the songwriter and the artist, mm-hmm. if those are 2 different things, you know what I mean? It's all centered around trust,
right.
You know? And it's like, I think that's one of the things about Les is that he, not in a fake way, But you, like you kind of mentioned, like he was super nice at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? But that's because maybe he recognized that someone was nervous or there's no...
Oh, he did. I'm
sure
he did.
He's just a nice guy, right? But it's an all in service of like building real trust.
Yeah.
So you can get down into the dirt and yeah. like make a fucking record.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And be either like, no, you aren't doing it again.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we're going to keep doing this until you get it.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's like, I think the main thing that works with us is that he would just like see straight through my shit.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm coming in trying to put on a front, like, mm-hmm. over bubbly, like, there's nothing going on. I'm fine. My mental health is great. Like, I'm in a good mood. He'll just be like, you're not okay.
I'm totally being vulnerable yeah. right now. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I know your voice is hurting.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So we can wrap it up. But I really appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday to come in and hang out with a dude you don't know and
yeah.
talk about your music and all that kind of stuff. So really appreciate it. And just promise that hopefully when you release your next thing, you can come back in and do it again.
Yeah, please.
Maybe next time we'll plan ahead better or I'll plan ahead better and we can bring Les in on the conversation. Okay. Or someone like that, you know what I mean?
Special guest.
Bring some people in.
Special Les.
Maybe Ryan Saab another time too or whatever. So
if I can get him down here.
I know, right? Does he ever come back and
he
just
hang
out?
He came back in town. He came down for, oh my God, for the EP release. Can we cut that
Oh
part?
God, I wish you guys could see her face. Like, I don't even think you finished getting those words out of your mouth and your eyes were already like, oh my God, I just did that.
We're glad this isn't live.
Oh, no, right. Oh, well, it's all staying in there.
Yeah, great.
I don't edit.
No, you know.
But if you want me to, I will.
No, it's no. fine. It's just, you know.
All right, cool. Well, thanks. We'll do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Peace.